Today's podcast is made possible in part by the amazing support that I get from the community of Rob Has a Podcast patrons that I love more than Randy Bailey loves Australian Survivor. To find out more about the benefits of becoming an RHAP patron, visit us on the website at robhasawebsite.com/patron. That's robhasawebsite.com/patron. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's almost always the sucker at every table I sit at, Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cisternino, and we've got a fun recap today because I am thrilled, I am tickled to be joined once again by Randy Bailey on the Recap Podcast to talk through everything from episode number 4 of Millennials versus Gen X. So Randy will be coming up here in just a moment. So excited for that. Of course, last night, Survivor Know-It-Alls, and then I got the exit interview with Lucy. Had a nice chat with Lucy this morning. Hope you check that out on robinswebsite.com. Still to come this week, we have our voicemail podcast as well with Miles Nye. So be on the lookout for that and be subscribed to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring in our recap podcast guest that he is one of the great friends of Rob Has a Podcast. And I don't know if he likes the hidden immunity idol, so maybe this is not the best week to have him back here with us, the great Randy Bailey.
Hey, Rob, what's going on?
Randy, how have you been?
I've been great. And yeah, I disagree. I think this is a perfect week to have me on. You know, there's, if you remember, I found an immunity idol once and got rid of it in a kind of a similar way.
But yeah, you wasted it also.
Yeah. So, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. All right, Randy. So, what a week to have you on. So much going on Australian Survivor to talk through now at the final six, Randy.
I'm loving it. In fact, this podcast should be complete Australian Survivor.
You kept up this whole way through 21 episodes of Australian Survivor.
I am up to date. I'm even corresponding with like half a dozen of the cast.
Does it make you mad that there have been 21 Australian Survivor episodes and there was only what, 14 episodes of Survivor Gabon?
Yeah. And,
yeah, first 10 or so are good.
I was in another season as well, if you remember, Rob. Yes. Or have you seen all the seasons?
I've seen them all. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I came back once, as you did. You're briefly, right. It's getting a little old. 21. You know, I'm ready for it to end. you know, they tried it. They'll probably. I bet you they come back next season with only 18 or 20.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. All right. But we're here to talk about American Survivor, U.S. Survivor, episode number 4 of Millennials versus Gen X, and a lot to talk through. But first of all, Randy, how have you been?
You already asked that. I'm still doing great.
I thought maybe you would go into more detail about how you're doing.
Nothing's going to change. I'm just getting older. It's nothing's great. Nothing's bad. It's just, you know, just sitting around waiting for the phone to ring and waiting for your invitation to do another podcast, you know, once a year or so.
Okay, good. Well, I'm excited to have you back here. And let's talk about the millennials and the Gen Xers. Now, from what I take away from Twitter, it seems like you're not loving this season.
That's not entirely true. You know, Twitter is about, you know, Twitter, they're saying should be, if you don't have anything bad to say about somebody, then don't say it at all. You know, my good observations, you know, I'm not going to put them on Twitter because they're not funny. And, you know, so yeah, Twitter is about hate. Just, yeah. Twitter is about making fun of people. And that's what you're seeing. But yeah, it's not my favorite season, but it's far from my worst also.
Yeah.
I'm liking it.
It seems like the theme has gotten on your nerves in terms of the millennials versus Gen Xers.
Well, the constant you know, Probst shoving the theme down our throats is getting a little old. You know, we've done this before in what was it, season, I believe it was Fiji 14, young versus old. No,
it was Nicaragua.
Okay, whatever.
yeah.
And plus, was that Jimmy Johnson season?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They, you know, they've done it before, and you know, they've done. Yeah, I was thinking about this. I think your season was the first season that really had a theme, was it not?
Yeah, that it was the men versus the women. That was really right.
You know, at first it was, you know, just Borneo and Australia and Africa. And, you know, they weren't trying to force round pegs into square holes. And, you know, I like the old days where it's the... where the location is the star and not the theme, because this is, you know, Probst with his texting and it's ridiculous. You know, people aren't interested in that. And even the seasons with themes, the theme is thrown out the window by episode 6. Nobody remembers anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So. Well, I'm sure we'll touch more on this theme as we go along. But let's talk about last night's tribal council and everything that went on with David ultimately playing his idol to save Jessica.
We'll start at the end.
Yes. I mean, do you want to start at the beginning of the episode and just go all the way straight through?
Just like that Seinfeld episode that started at the end and went to the beginning.
I mean, that's how I prefer to start with the most important stuff, but we can do a chronological recap. But
no, let's do it. Start with Tribal Council and we'll end it with previously on Survivor.
Yeah, that's great. So at the Tribal Council, Randy, or should we start with the next week on Survivor first?
let's start there.
So Stephen and I talked about it last night in terms of David's move, and both of us were not crazy about it. Did you like what he did?
Well, you saw him. I think you probably saw my tweet last night live. I did not like it at the time. With my rewatch today, I'm not so sure. I'm not sure it was such a terrible move.
Okay, last night you said, somebody remind David that it's day 12. Moves like that need to be on day 33. You will learn. Actually, you won't. Forget you. Goodbye, go home. And you used the letter U a number of times and also the letter B instead of the word B. Although then you went back to YOU for forget you, goodbye.
Yeah, well, that's... I'm just trying to prove Probst wrong. Yeah. Whether I think it was a good move or not, we'll have to see how David plays it. If he plays it like, I was doing this just to get rid of the idol. I did not want this curse following me around the entire game. I wanted to get rid of it. And with getting rid of using it to get rid of Lucy, I did no one in this tribe any harm. And I just wanted to do it and start fresh. And if he plays it like this wasn't so much about saving Jessica as it was just to get rid of the idol.
Mm-hmm. So basically, figuratively, taking the idol and throwing it into the ocean.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, that was part of my reasoning in Gabon. The other part of the reasoning was I didn't need the idol at the time. I was going to the end without the idol. So, you know, why complicate things?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely see some wisdom in that. But, you know, this idea came up in Australian Survivor as well of, hey, everybody thinks that I am schemy. Having the idol is only going to make me more of a target. I should not have the idol and that'll work out better. But then sometimes the idol was keeping people away from voting for you.
Well, we'll see how David plays it. Last night I hated the move. It may work out for him. And is David a huge fan or not?
Yeah, I think he's a big fan.
Yeah, he probably, you know, knew that there would be some sort of shakeup in the next week or two. And, you know, if he lasts a week from right now, and I'm talking about a week in island days, not TV days.
Yeah.
You know, everybody will forget about it.
Yeah.
And you know, nobody seemed to like Lucy that much anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wasn't super popular. So you feel like that going into the swap without the idol is better than going into the swap with the idol?
Only because he told Ken.
What did he tell Ken?
Well, he showed it to him. He told him he had the idol, you know, and, you know, anybody that's, you know, watched, you know, 33 seasons now?
This is 33.
Knows that no one ever keeps their mouth shut, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Let's see, you know, Wentworth did a great job. She didn't tell anybody, but if she told her biggest confidant, people cannot, you know, keep that quiet. If no one had seen me find the idol, I would not have thrown it in the ocean. I would have stuck it in my, you know, in hindsight, I should have stuck it in my pocket with nobody looking and continued to dig a hole about 3 feet deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, saying I can't find it anywhere. But, you know, everybody saw me get it. And, you know, the best thing to do was throw it away.
Yeah. So for David, you feel like that he's going to be able to bounce back from this pretty well?
I don't think he's going to need to bounce back too much because, you know, that really didn't do anybody too much harm.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of Lucy.
Yeah. Did you like Lucy?
She was my winner's pick initially. it took about 6 minutes into the first episode for me to have to rethink that. But
what led you to Lucy?
Why did I pick her as a winner?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I was trying to prove to people that I wasn't racist or something. I picked Darnell last season and they didn't buy that. So I tried the token black guy. So this time I tried the Asian guy. Girl.
Woman, Randy.
That's true.
Okay. Well.
No, I don't know what. She just kind of seemed. I don't know. Just I'm horrible at picking winners. This. Yeah. Never ask me.
Have you ever gotten one right?
No. I mean, you could. You know, I could be picking winners when it's final five, and I don't think I would have gotten any right.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, let's talk about the woman that David saved. And I know you always have a warm place in your heart for survivors named Jessica. There's actually two of them this season, but Gen X Jessica got saved with the hidden immunity idol. What did you think about the way that she played this week?
You know, most of her playing she did last week, if I remember right. She didn't do a whole lot of playing this week. She just
her big move was that she went back and told Lucy about the plan to vote out Lucy.
Yeah,
which ultimately probably would have sent her home.
Yeah, it's stupid play. I mean, this is Gabon 2.0. I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking about her move last week to get Paul out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's too much too early as well. These, you don't have to, except for heroes versus villains, you don't have to do too much in a non-returning player season to stick around to real close to the merge. You know, as long as you're not horrible at challenges and as long as you're, you know, pulling your weight a little bit, you don't have to play the game too much.
Mm-hmm. And so that was an overplay to vote out Paul last week.
Right. And I think it was. Obviously it was. She got, what'd she get? Like seven votes, six votes?
I want to say, I think it was five?
Yeah, 5-2-1. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then, so she gets the five votes ultimately. She was voting for Cece at that tribal council. She's like the only one who was really going off and doing her own thing after she goes back and talks to Lucy about what Ken had said to her. Randy, how do you know on Survivor if somebody is telling you a fake plan? Because I feel like I'd be good at it now. I feel like now I think I would know if somebody was telling me I feel like if I went back on Survivor and people were lying to me, I feel like, oh, I would definitely know when they're telling me something that's not real, because there wouldn't be enough details in it. If they were being sketchy with me, I would always know who was lying to me.
Well, the way you can tell if they're lying or not is the music in the background.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually a giveaway. You know, I was thinking about, seriously, I was thinking about the answer, and I haven't been lied to too much.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Bob's fake idol, and, you know, I knew that was not true, but, I did not have the wool pulled over my eyes, even attempted
mm-hmm.
in either season.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, I don't know if that speaks well of me or poorly of me. It might be saying, you know, Randy's too smart to fall for this lie, or it might mean let's don't even waste our time with him.
You know, the problem is, I think also is that you can tell like a person is being sort of sketchy about something and that they're not being completely honest, but you don't know necessarily what they're being dishonest about. And I, like when I got voted out in Survivor All-Stars, like I felt like, boy, something doesn't feel right, but I didn't really want to push the issue too much with people because I didn't want to come off like I was being super paranoid or crazy. So I just felt like, all right, well,
you want to give people the benefit of the doubt and you want to trust people. And I was there with exactly where you were in Heroes versus Villains. And you know, I blame the same guy you blame.
Yeah.
And we're not going to give him any airtime on this podcast, so don't even mention the name.
I won't.
But yeah, and I, you know, I didn't fall for his crap either.
Yeah. So, Randy, we've seen Ken become somebody who is a very prominent figure in the Gen X tribe. He was the person that had the most issue with Lucy this week because he didn't like how she was barking orders to him. Are you a big Ken guy?
You know, he's okay. I don't dislike the guy. I noticed his edit last night going south a little bit.
How so?
You know, he doesn't, he's not, you know, so what if Lucy's bossy and, you know, tough to live with? It's day 12, you know, day 9 through 12 on Survivor. Don't make a big deal out of it. You know, I did that. You know, in Gabon, the only time you saw me speaking my mind was in confessionals. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't confront Crystal or anybody face to face like Ken confronted Lucy. That doesn't do you any good.
Yeah. When you were getting bossed around by GC.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, yeah, I pushed back a little bit there. You're right.
Randy, are you excited to see another Survivor player named Ken on Survivor?
What, this model Ken is as the second to my friend Kenny.
Yeah, this season's got a Jessica. It's got a Ken.
That's true. It does. No Rob or
Michelle.
Yeah, another Michelle. Wow, that's crazy.
This is like Gabon 2.0.
Yeah, Ken's not going to win. You can tell.
How can you tell? I feel like people are saying that he has the good winners at it.
Really?
People are saying he's being shown in a good light.
Up until last night, like I said, I thought he his butting heads was with Lucy was totally unnecessary.
Yes. So what should he have done? Just gone along with her plan and vote out Jessica?
There's no need for any confrontation at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and every time I say this, you know, I think of myself as being hypocritical. You know, I'll think of something that, you know, contradicts what I'm saying back in Gabon, you know, like the issue with boiling the water with GC.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember that, you know, I let it die pretty quickly. I mean, GC was wrong, but I didn't press the issue. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
When he wanted to boil water that was already boiled to make the rice with. And I was the only one that was boiling water for, you know, the canteens. And of course it didn't show that, but, and I, you know, explained to him, just use lake water. So we have to boil it once. So I don't have to do the work again. And he's, you know, we're surrounded by lakes, Randy. Water's everywhere. And I'm just like, you know, right. Then it cuts to me in a confessional and my confrontation with him is in a confessional.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, not until we got control did I have to tell him that he was an idiot to his face.
Now, Randy, it looks like next week we're headed into a tribe swap. And then really that was like the best thing that happened to you and Gabon when they swapped up the tribes, right?
No, actually I didn't see it at the time, but that was the worst thing that could happen.
Oh, why?
Actually, it didn't hurt me. It worked out fine. The tribe swap. I worked my way into with the new people easily, and But I'd also gotten to a place in the original Fang tribe that, you know, I wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what would have been best for me.
Do you think that the Gen Xers are going to be dead in the water coming up in this tribe swap? Do you think they're going to get picked off by the millennials post swap?
Taylor and Figgy have got to be broken up by the previews. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll be broken up?
It sounds like it. In the preview for next week, then there Jeff talks about how, and the blooming romance is maybe not gonna survive the tribe swap. And
they screw with this all the time with previews, but this time, you know, like they did with Paul's heart attack. You know, I knew that was baloney. But
wait, what do you mean it was baloney?
Well, I knew he wasn't having a heart attack when they show so much in the previews.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, they showed us when everybody was going to get medevac. They showed us that was definitely coming.
You mean when Caleb quit last season?
Oh, Randy, come on.
Oh, yeah. I remember that episode. That's right. When he got tired and quit.
That his life was hanging in the balance, Randy.
Okay. You're right.
They usually show us that, like, when medical is coming in, even when somebody goes home.
Yeah, but I don't know. Did you not read my tweet saying, you know, Paul's not going anywhere?
Let me go back. I have your Twitter open over here.
Yeah, let's see.
You said you were mad day 7 and they got a buffet. And that was from last week's episode. We got to go back to 2 weeks ago. You said the only thing missing from the idol David found was a silver platter. Russell Hance couldn't have found it faster. And then
you're getting close.
You had some election tweets. Let's see. And also, I've always wondered why Probst refers to someone as women in the front row when he spends weeks with them during casting. Did I skip it?
I may have deleted it. I don't know.
Wait, you delete tweets?
I do. The next morning if I wake up and I'm not happy with them, I have to delete them. Or if they don't have enough followers or retweets or whatever, it's just like, why did I say that? That was stupid.
Boy, so we need to screen grab all of them before they go away.
Yeah, and you got me into this Twitter stuff.
Yeah, do you like it? 4,200 followers.
I like it, but I find myself, you know, watching a show and instead of enjoying the show, I'm thinking of a clever tweet to entertain people.
Yeah,
and you know, I miss the show. So, but Twitter's fine.
Yeah. I'm trying to see, do you interact? You write back to people and stuff like that. So that's good. It seems like you're having a good time with the Twitter.
Sure. Yeah. I don't snub anybody.
Yeah. All right. You also said about live tribal my ass. So you don't believe that the tribal council was unfolding in real time?
No, I think back to the tribal councils I've been to and it hadn't been all that many, but none of them were live. The vote was carved in stone, walking to tribal. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't say that there is such a thing. I'm sure there have been, but I didn't buy it last night.
Yeah. So you don't feel like that David was deciding whether or not to play his idol based on what was happening at tribal council?
No.
Yeah. What was the red flag for you?
His confessional on the way to tribal council, getting him to say, I'm going to take it with me just in case. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Right. Because it did seem like it was a coordinated vote that him and Cece both cast their votes for Lucy at the tribal council. So it's truly a live vote. It wasn't just one person flipped their vote. It was two.
But I'm not sure why they left Jessica in the dark.
Well, because the last plan they told her, she went back and told Lucy.
That's true. But this plan benefits her. The last plan screwed her.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if the last plan was screwing her, but I don't know why they didn't tell Ken. Don't you think Ken is going to be annoyed with David to say, hey, bro, next time you're going to do an idol play like that, why don't you give me a heads up so I don't vote for a person that's going to stay in the game?
Like I said earlier, if David plays it right and says, Ken, I am sorry I didn't tell you. I knew you didn't like Lucy also. You know, I was doing you a favor as much as I was myself, but I just did not want to have to depend on anybody else with this vote. I wanted to do it all myself, and the same gesture, get rid of this stinking idol.
But if you were out there, Randy, would you take that at face value if somebody told you that?
Depends on who told me, of course.
Yeah. If I was on Survivor, I feel like I would not want any surprises. Anything that happened that I didn't know about ahead of time, I feel like I would be very much at unease with that person moving forward.
I know you remember this because you've done rewatches and you've done the evolution of strategy and stuff. I'm not sure how many of your listeners remember this, but the pivotal point in Gabon was when there was it was a double eviction episode, and we split the votes between Dan and Susie.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew at the time getting rid of Dan was the wrong decision. Corinne and I both knew it. And, Marcus was like, you know, Dan may have the idol. And I'm like, Dan doesn't have the idol. You know, he can't find his underwear in the morning, much less the idol.
Yeah.
And if I'd have been smart, I would have been one of the votes on Dan, and and Dan would have had 4 and Susie 3. And without telling anybody, I would have switched my vote from Dan to Susie, and Susie would have gone home 4-3. And then I would have had to plead my case to Marcus and Charlie and just said, you know, Marcus, you were hell bent on getting a physical threat out of this game. And I'm sorry, buddy, but you were wrong. The proper move was to get rid of Susie.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a crystal ball to look into to show you what would happen, but, you know, I wish I'd done that.
Yeah. Now, you were one of the votes that voted against Susie in that vote, so you would need to have switched your vote.
Yeah, I would have had to have been Dan at the beginning.
Yeah.
Or stood up in the middle of the vote and just say, hey, look, you know, guys, Jeff, shut up a minute. I want to talk to these people.
Yeah. Live tribal.
And this would be, Twitter was in its infancy then.
Yes.
And so I'm sure they didn't put hashtags on the screen, but and just said, look, guys, we are making the wrong decision. We need to get rid of Susie. I'm sticking, because we talked strategy in front of Susie. There was even strategy against her because, you know, she didn't even matter. Mm-hmm. We all knew that we could get rid of her anytime we wanted.
Yeah.
You know, it was like she wasn't even there. But, you know, I wish I'd done that.
Yeah. And so you could have just made that big move. And yeah, and like Natalie Anderson did in San Juan del Sur, her move was that she says like, oh, I thought I was supposed to vote for Alec Christie, not for Keith.
Oh, OK. She played like she was stupid, but wasn't.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, OK, well, I guess it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but we went back and forth on Dan and Susie all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all day long. And honestly, at the time, it didn't make a ton of difference to me. But I knew Susie was the right play. But, I didn't know, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, nobody, in 33 seasons of Survivor, no tribes have ever. We're the latest merge ever,
mm-hmm.
ever. And the reason is we are supposed to have merged the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've heard that story.
Yes. But I don't, was it the latest merge ever?
Well, let's say if Maddie had, who got fourth place, if Maddie had won that last immunity and gone to the final three,
mm-hmm.
Marcus, who was the first juror, would have been voting on the final three. And never even having met Maddie.
I mean, yeah, day 27 is the merge. And boy, that's almost like Australian Survivor merge time, Randy.
Well, if the game lasted 55 days, that would have been fine. But this was, yeah. I'm sorry. This isn't about Gabon, but it's, you know how it is. When we start, everything you see, you put it in terms of your game.
Yeah.
And you know, this idol, this David's idol. And, my idol throwing it in the ocean. And anyway.
Yeah. Well, let's talk actually about how Ken and Lucy were in communication with each other and what you thought is the right call in this type of situation where is Ken right to be so upset with Lucy for the way that she is telling him what the plans are going to be? Or does Lucy have a point in that? Hey, look, I can't, you know,
this is my style. People appreciate it.
Right.
Ken absolutely has the right to get totally angry. But with that being said, voice your anger in a confessional, not in Lucy's face. I said that before. Mm-hmm. For about the first half of the game, I was, you know, I wrote the book on talking crap on people in confessionals. And when I'm in camp, I'm getting along with Crystal. She liked me, you know, her and GC, and they didn't know I was tearing them a new one. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was right to get angry. He didn't go about it right.
Yeah. And she says that what she needed to do was to say please and thank you more. But it's probably, you know, more in terms of tailoring your message to each individual person. That's really the effective way to get anything accomplished on Survivor.
Yeah, I agree. And this early, you know, especially being a one of the semi alpha males in kin, you know, no one's going to vote you out. You need his strength. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't stir the pot, dude.
Okay. Well, let's start to segue into talking about some of the millennials so far this season, Randy. Are any of the millennials characters that you have enjoyed watching?
No.
No, you don't like any millennials.
let me think. Let me pull them up to see if I can get a picture of them so I don't put somebody on the wrong tribe.
Well, it's hard to do that this season.
Yeah. Obviously everybody's favorite, Adam.
Yes.
The golden edit last night.
Yes. You were happy when he found the idol?
No, I wasn't, because I was in a power rankings deal with somebody else and they got more points for that than I did. But yeah, I mean, who doesn't like Adam? I mean, his problems with his mother and his confessional. You know, I think the producers get every single survivor bawling their head off in a confessional just in case they win.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They got it with me in Gabon with my dog. Mm-hmm. They know the buttons to push. They're just like, okay, let's bring up Randy's dog that just died. This will get him crying. and to this day, people, I'll get a tweet that says, you know, Randy, you know, forgive me, I hated you in Gabon, but I just saw this video on YouTube about you and your dog, and now you're my favorite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, just in case they win, they get a, you know, and this doesn't take anything away from, you know, Adam. I've been where he's at. I lost my mother also, to cancer when I was, I was in my early 20s, probably younger than Adam is. Mm-hmm. But, I'm liking Adam. I gotta like, you know, Will's okay.
Yeah.
I'm liking Will. Taylor and Figgy, it's ridiculous. Just
what's ridiculous?
I mean, did you see them holding hands like they were at a movie, mm-hmm, instead of at a challenge last night? That was awful.
I mean, but Randy, that you're not a little bit romantic in terms of, you know, hey, you look, young people finding love on Survivor.
Well, that's what Ponderosa is for once you get voted out.
Yeah.
Did you feel like
you were back with Ace and Sugar?
They weren't in Ponderosa with me.
Oh, okay.
They were on the pre-jury trip. I was on the jury.
Yeah.
But it just dawned on me right now, the reason they showed so much of Taylor and Figgy holding hands and her grabbing his arm and stuff is they're getting split up.
Oh, no.
That's they were setting that up. It just dawned on me.
Yeah. Well, do you think that that is going to make them into a big target in the swap? Because we talked with last week when I talked to Paul, they made a big deal on the show about, like, oh, we didn't let anybody know that we were together. But Paul's like, oh, it was so obvious that that was a pair.
Yeah, what I see happening is they get split up and Taylor turns to Zeke and says, take care of her, man, if you can. Take care of her. I'll take care of you. You need to do the accent better. And again, don't mention the name, but you know who I'm talking about. And you know what season I'm talking about. No, that's not going to happen. Taylor is there. I'd be shocked if either one of them made the jury.
Well, you think that Figgy and Taylor are both going to get broken up and voted out in the next couple episodes? Because, I mean, we're down to, what, 16? So you figure that if you're going to have maybe...
3 at 10. Yeah. So they got... It's in the next
3
spots.
9-person jury. So in the next 4 weeks...
One of them may sneak in. I don't know.
Okay.
But for either one of them... You know, and we see this happen often with a couple, and not necessarily a showmance. It could just be a couple like Brett and Chris are a couple.
Mm-hmm.
If a better example is Tyson and Rachel.
Yeah.
In Blood versus Water, you know, the best thing that ever happened to Tyson was Rachel being an early boot. Mm-hmm. He could focus.
Yeah.
And that's. You know, sorry, Rachel, if you're listening to this, I know you're not. Tyson probably is, but I'm sure Tyson will agree with me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Rachel's not too upset with $1 million. So what if she's not, you know,
listening?
Survivor royalty. She can handle it.
Hey, she's still the best Rachel that's ever played the game.
I can't.
More than I can say.
I can think of two, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's something.
True. Anyway, yeah, Taylor, Taylor or Figgy's game will go much farther if the other one gets booted.
Okay, so one of them has to go home and then the other one can do well. Do you think that Taylor Possibly. Can do well without Figgy? I feel like Figgy could do well without Taylor.
Figgy's got a better chance for sure.
Yeah. Do you like Figgy?
I do, but then I say to myself, you know, how can you respect somebody that falls for somebody like Taylor?
Why? What's wrong with Taylor?
Well, he's just that... just that surfer mentality kind of rubs me you know, I'm an old fogey. He just kind of, and I'm sure he's a nice guy, but too young and, you know, too stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then what about Zeke? I feel like that you and Zeke have similar taste in shirts.
Yeah, I saw that. Zeke's okay. I don't know why everybody. I don't see. I haven't seen the greatness that I was expecting.
Yeah.
Yet I was expecting for some reason I was expecting Russell Hance 2.0.
Mm.
And you know that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing a nice guy.
Is that
know?
What you want to see though?
No, it's not. It's okay. Not. But I was expecting it.
Okay.
And I guess the only reason I was well I can't say that.
Yeah.
You know what I was going to say.
I think I know.
Yeah. And you're probably not allowed to say stuff like that. So let's just leave it at that. No, I was.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's pleasant. He's got a nice smile. His mustache is kind of cheesy. But here's a good way to put it. I was expecting a bigger character.
Yeah. All right.
From what I've heard.
Well, we'll see how it goes for Zeke the rest of the way. What about some of the other women on the Millennial Tribe? Last week we saw Hannah as somebody who we saw 2 weeks ago when she couldn't decide how to vote. Then last week she was really getting in Zeke's face about that she wanted to talk about the vote. What's your feelings on Hannah?
Hannah is sugar. Hannah is what's her name? The Brazilian
Abby.
Abby. Hannah is Abby. Hannah is sugar. And there's probably a couple more examples. And you say hashtag live tribal. I do believe that tribal was live when Michelle, you know, did that to Hannah to get her to switch. You know, who wants to play with people like that?
With Hannah or with Michelle?
No, with Hannah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Michelle, that was brilliant. Michelle was smart enough to know that she couldn't do that to somebody like, well, anybody other than Hannah, but, you know, she saw that it might work on Hannah, and it did.
Yeah.
The way they opened up last night's episode with Hannah and Zeke talking, that was unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was two weeks ago. Unbelievable. It's like, kudos to casting. How do they, find people like this?
Yeah.
There was a thing in Gabon. I know I keep going back to Gabon. It was me and Corinne were talking, and Susie was standing there, and I would say the same sentence, and it was just something like, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up early and go fishing. Just something stupid. And I could not get halfway through the sentence before Susie would interrupt and start talking. And Corinne looked at me, and Corinne looked at Susie, and I started the exact same sentence again with, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up, and just like same place, Susie interrupts and says the exact same thing. And I look at Corinne, and Corinne looks at me and starts to smile. And I start the sentence again tomorrow. And she does it again. And Susie did this like five times. And by the fifth time, Corinne and I just busted out laughing at Susie, like, what planet are you from? We were just overtly making fun of her. You know, again, she didn't matter. We were going to vote her off whenever we felt like it. You know, little did we know that she was going to, beat us both. But
right.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. How does casting find people like Hannah? I'm guessing she will pull a Sugar or an Abby Maria and go pretty deep, mid jury probably. It's just, there's people like, I won't name any names, but you know who I'm talking about. There are more than one survivor that have turned down a second chance to go back on the show because they knew Abby was going to be out there.
You're talking about RC?
Could be.
Yes. How many people would not go if they knew RC was going, though?
I'd go.
You'd go.
I'd go. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's big. That's big when the people won't even go on the island with you because you're going to be out there.
Yeah. And that's, let me just say, yeah. I thought Hannah was going to be kind of an Aubrey. Mm-hmm. So I was looking forward to watching her. I like Aubrey. I like her game.
Sure.
I like her on TV, and I like the interactions I've had with her outside the game. But I would not want to play with Hannah.
Yeah. Are there any survivors that wouldn't go back and play if they knew you were going to be on the island?
Oh, probably not.
Yes.
I don't think anybody. I don't think so.
And do you have an Abby Maria list of the people that if they called you up and Lynn was like, OK, Randy, we're ready for you, going to put you on this season. Do you have like a list of names of like, OK, well, I'm only going if these people are not there?
Yeah, I do. But the list is made for a different reason. It's not the Abby Maria or Hannah or Sugar list. It's the 3 and 4 time players that are on my list.
Because it wouldn't be fair, is what you're saying.
I did not have a good experience in season 20, and I don't want to do that again.
Okay.
So that, yeah, you can figure out who's on the list. I'm sure you could name 4 or 5 off the top of your head. But if there was a season and its name was Third Time's a Charm,
yes,
I don't think there's anybody that's only played twice that I wouldn't play with.
Okay.
That's a better answer for you, I think.
That's pretty good. Randy, let's talk about this reward challenge from last night. And we got to see a lot of crazy stuff going on in the challenge. First off, do you like when these survivors wrestle? Do you like these physical competitions?
No, I don't. I don't.
Because James really came after you in Heroes vs. Villains?
Well, I went easy on James because, I was well rested and I didn't really want to hurt him. No. Yeah. Everybody knows James kicked my ass. I could do that. I've been quoted of saying I could do that challenge 1,000 times and wouldn't win it once. Unless the only way I could win it would if James got struck by lightning.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of when Michaela took her top off in the challenge? Were you reminded at all of back in Heroes versus Villains when Sugar took her top off in the first challenge that you guys were in?
Are you being facetious or have you seen my tweet?
Okay, well, you tweeted out last night.
Yeah. Okay, you have seen it. Yeah, it was. Of course it reminded me of Sugar. I think it reminded everybody of Sugar.
Yeah. You tweet out last night, did at the Michaela B in her bio say that she would play the game most like at Sugar Kuiper, and then you said hashtag Tatas out, but didn't use the word Tatas.
I know what I said, Rob. It was only last night.
They're about to see some Tatas today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm loving Michaela. I didn't think I'd like her. I got an early Crystal Cox vibe from her.
But yeah, she's been great.
She's impressed me. Yeah. I like her.
Yeah. So
those people saying Randy's a racist, I like Michaela, for the record.
Yeah. Are a lot of people saying that? I mean, my sense is that you hate everybody.
Yes, I do. You're right. No, of course I don't. It's just
like you have hate for all races and religions,
which would make you not a racist, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if you hate all people equally.
Sure. It's, you know, you asked me if a lot of people still say that, and not a lot do, but you know, if one does, you remember it. I got a message from somebody who is now blocked, of course, just a week or so ago, that said Randy, are you a racist? You seem like a racist to me. Just mm-hmm. out of nowhere.
Right.
Just, you know, and, you know, I think I just muted him. I don't block anybody anymore.
Yeah. Don't give him the satisfaction.
Right.
Yeah.
which is, I'm sure, what Probst has done to me.
Well, after your tweet last week about, hey, Jeff, do you know when someone texts you in STFU, do you know what that means?
he's got to like it. They cast me to be me. So they're not, he's not going to get mad if I'm just being me. Right?
Yeah. You know, Randy, a lot of people were asking questions for you of, did you like the scene last night where Jeff Probst got hit with the wave? This was from the reward challenge. It's a little hard to pick up on the audio. It's more of a visual thing, but here's Jeff getting hit with the wave. It was much funnier in the commercial for the episode where you had Michaela is like going to take her top off and she's like,
they about to see some tatas today.
And then they cut that with Jeff getting hit with the wave and knocking him down. That was really very good editing.
The only way it would have been better would have been if he'd gone down.
Just got.
and he came close to going down.
Yeah. Almost. Almost.
I got a. Yeah, there was a tweet from Anthony.
Anthony Robinson.
Right. And it's mentioned something about the wave, or maybe he did tweet to me about what I thought about it. And I tweeted back to him that was the island gods telling Jeff to STFU. To stay in the millennial theme.
Yeah, I think that did catch Jeff by surprise, because usually he's not going out into the water to go say somebody won. Like, you could, you know, he doesn't want to get all wet in the ocean.
Yeah, that was I wish he'd gone down. It would have been great. That would have been great.
All right. Well, let's keep going with some of these questions that I have for you from the listeners.
Let's talk about that reward challenge on my rewatch today. Sure. I noticed a couple things that some of the viewers might find interesting. I know I found interesting. Did you notice how everybody's buff was around their neck?
No.
Well, if you watch it again, nobody's wearing their buff on their elbow or on their head, or as a onesie,
mm-hmm.
they all have it bunched up and it's around their neck as a scarf. Like, mm-hmm. And if you look closely, you can see that the buff is not laying smoothly. And that's because everybody's microphone is hidden, you know, tucked away inside their buff.
Oh, that's interesting.
You didn't know they didn't do that when you were back in the old days with you?
Well, we didn't have water challenges like that in the Amazon. So that might be a new trick. That might have been invented after I played Randy.
Yeah, when you don't do a whole rewatch, but just rewatch a second of that challenge. You will see everybody's buff around their neck.
I've got it on YouTube. Also a little bit of inside baseball. That again, and this, I don't know if they did this when you played or if they still do this, Randy. But
when I played baseball, or
no. These microphones, you know, they get damaged, and so sometimes when you have these water challenges, they have to put the microphone in a prophylactic.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Like the sound guy has got like a case of condoms, and they're putting all the microphones in there. Here,
and. You can go back to, sorry, I was getting a, I had got a message here on Twitter from T-Bird and I had to answer her real quick. So yes. I lost my, that was a shout out to you, T-Bird. I know you're coming up in a week or two.
Yes, coming up.
Yeah. And Gabon, the water polo challenge. Remember when we were in the little boats with the lacrosse sticks?
Yes.
We won that challenge, I believe.
You scored all the goals, I believe.
Oh, yes. I think you're right now that I think about it. Anyway, we had the same microphone in the bandana, mm-hmm. in the buff. So check that out, you trivia people. Yeah. Also, they showed an overhead shot from the helicopter of that little tiny island that they were doing the challenge on. Mm-hmm. And there is a good half a mile of ocean in all 360 degrees.
Yeah.
So there's... You know, that is an island that they had to, you know, they had to take a boat out there. But at the beginning of the challenge, Jeff is doing his normal, come on in, guys. And they're marching with their torches and everything, or not their torches, the flag. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know, where did they march from? Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice that, but that's a good, because in the episode, I certainly noticed like that, like, oh, this is like a cool island that you're on, but you're right.
It's very cool, but how do they walk there? There's, you know, they walked through a mile of ocean, you know, and that's the way I find myself watching.
Yeah.
Not just Survivor, but all reality TV is to find, you know, continuity problems and things that I can see that I can prove them. You know, to be pulling the wool over our eyes, you know. So yeah. I can just see the boats dropping everybody off, and then and what was crazy is there's no production people on that island, mm-hmm. So they had to get that overhead shot, and you know, then the 50 cameramen and producers are dropped off. You know how it works, mm-hmm. But.
Sure.
You know, I am so never getting invited back. It is just so obvious. So I might as well go for it, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if talking about the helicopter shot is necessarily grounds to be disqualified.
Yeah, and neither is the when Jeff says, come on in, guys. It's just or the microphones in the buff. It's just I can't remember who it was, but you could actually see the little power supply. Inside
sure,
this,
yeah, you could. I mean, now that the show's in HD, you could see all that stuff.
You know, it's just like when you watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette, and some girl is wearing a $3,000 dress that's got a big square lump in the back of it, just above her butt. You know,
yeah,
it's just like I don't think the designers intended, you know, there to be a microphone. Anyway,
yeah, it's a TV show. I mean, we got to record the audio.
Yeah, you'd think in the year 2016 somebody could invent a more hidden microphone.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in Big Brother Canada they have like necklaces and stuff like that are microphones, but I don't think they want that on Survivor. I mean, the nobody's mic'd up in the camp, just at the challenge.
And I can see that. That's why they try to hide it in the buff, and I find it distracting in Big Brother, especially when you're watching the live feeds. Or Big Brother After Dark or something, and they're constantly, you know, messing with their microphone around their neck, you know, and the guys coming on the, you know, Jason, please hook your mic, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Wait, well, I'm doing all the impressions. You're the king of impressions.
Yeah. Why? Who do you want
to
hear?
Well, you need to come in with the automated voice on the Big Brother house with
Randy,
Danielle.
You are not allowed to talk about production.
That's perfect.
All right. Ben Dubs wants to know, Randy, who's next to buy beers at Loser's Lodge?
That is alluding to, I'm guessing that's alluding to my line in Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, when you told Coach, hey, if you don't listen to me, when you show up, I'll buy you a beer at Loser Lodge.
I didn't miss it by far.
No. He was the first juror.
First juror. Let's see. Here's the first one to, you know, Cece's been she's been at the top of the list every single week. And I think this merge is going to save her. I don't think she's going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Typically at the swap, the person who goes out is somebody who like had something going
out to dry. Yeah, with a swap, or Stephen Fishback likes to call it, the merge.
Do you like to call it that, or Australian people call it that?
Well, it is the merge. Stephen's wrong in this case. It's somebody that you totally do not expect to be going. Just, you know, like Marcus got taken out in Gabon. Savage got taken out in Pearl Islands.
That's at the actual merge.
Yeah. And I was teasing Steven because I know he'll probably listen. Yeah, there's a swap and there's a merge. I know the difference.
I don't know if he listens to these.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Lack of dedication.
I don't think he listens to all the recaps.
No, so I would guess, you know, it could be, and this is a complete guess. I mentioned earlier that I saw Ken's edit going a little bit south. That might be a prelude to Ken going home next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like, possibly, who's the Wentworth out there of like the person who sort of like is in a good spot on their tribe, but then they're going to go into a swap and then be the person that gets taken out. And I do feel like that Figgy and Taylor fit that profile.
See, this is a weird season because, Brett and Chris have been on the wrong side of the vote
2 weeks
every time, I believe.
Yeah.
But yet they're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, do you get that feeling?
Well, you could see somebody like them go out where after a swap that they get targeted. Like, ideally you want to keep that person around, but they could be like a pre-merge type boot where it's like, okay, I think the merge is coming next week, and so let's take out this person before they get to when they could start winning a bunch of challenges after the merge.
Yeah, I agree. This is a, you know, everybody that's been voted out up to now, there has been a good reason for them to be voted out.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's time now for the China Aaron type vote out.
Yes.
So, somebody that's done nothing wrong. He's been, he or she has been, you know, a producer, you know, good in challenges. Everybody likes him, but, you know, Survivor's not fair. So it's time for that. And my vote is Kendall.
Matt Rubio wants to know, Randy, how would you have reacted if Lucy told you not to talk to anyone on the tribe until the vote?
Yeah. He asked that question knowing the answer, I'm sure. So, it would not have been shown on TV. It wouldn't. You'd never even know about it because it would be, it would not be shown.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I was performing with that answer. The honest answer is, I'd let him get away with it when on day 10 or 12. It's, you know, I'd tear him a new one in a confessional.
Yeah.
Is what I'd do. I'd smile and say, yes, ma'am, Lucy.
Yeah.
You're right.
All right. This is a question from one of our listeners, Steven, probably not Steven Fishback, but
I bet it is.
I hope so. No, I would be so flattered if he was listening to these. So once in a while he surprises me and he listens to one of these. Depends if he likes you or not. It's really, that's what it comes down to. Is he a fan of yours?
I think he likes me.
Yeah.
I don't know. He follows me on Twitter. I follow him. We hung out in Susanville a few years ago and we've talked on the phone a few times and not as much in the last few couple of years, but we bonded up in Northern California a few years ago, I think.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So, I may be wrong. You know, he may have been playing me, but
yeah,
I don't think so.
So Steven, not Fishback, writes out, in the last two episodes, Paul and Lucy expressed that they like to be in control in their day-to-day lives. By trying to exert power within the game, it contributed in part to their downfalls. Randy, you played with Bob, who won Gabon, somebody who admittedly had very little control over the fate in his game. Who out of the remaining castaways is doing a good job at relinquishing control and staying in the shadows? And who's doing a bad job at trying to obtain control at this juncture in the game, where it's evident that trying to do so is a detriment?
Man, Steven, that sounded like Fishback, as wordy as it was.
Yeah.
That was a long question.
It was a long question, but an interesting one.
Well, my style is, I don't need control. You know, in Gabon, I was quoted as, you know, my best plan right now is to sit on my ass and do nothing and watch these idiots, you know, fall all over themselves. And I was right. And that is a good strategy a lot of times. And, you know, but like we talked about earlier, I should have taken more control with the Dan Susie vote out.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been listened to. Anyway, let's see. I don't understand Lucy or Paul's need for control that early in the game. You know, it's like, you know, China Chicken. Remember that guy?
Of course I remember. Yeah, him.
I mean, who cares what kind of shelter you build? You know, who cares? Yeah, you do remember.
Yes.
That was his only word that entire season, wasn't it? What was his question? Who needs to take control?
Who's doing a good job of not letting themselves be in a position where they have to take control, sort of just letting things come to them?
Yeah. Zeke, Will. Will's doing a great job at that.
Yeah.
Adam, of course. And mm-hmm. we'll see. You know, I really like Adam. We'll see next week whether he, you know, tells Zeke about the idol or not. I hope not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, even if they're best friends, it's easier said than done, I guess. You know, if I'd found another idol on, say, like, you know, day 28 or something in Gabon, I don't know how I could have not told, you know, Charlie and Corinne.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing what I know now, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Did I answer that good enough?
Yes.
It was kind of a wordy question.
You
never should have asked Steven's question. So just put him on the blackball list for next recap show.
All right. Okay. Connor Rowe has a question who says, I remember Coach saying that he gave each member of the villains tribe a nickname based on the player's personality. He mentioned that I'm going to intentionally not say a player's name because you requested that I don't mention this person's name on the podcast. And I want to adhere to whatever guidelines you set out.
And I know Connor. I talk to Connor every now and then on Twitter.
Okay, that person's name is Sir Lancelot. Yes. What was the name that Coach gave you? Is this Connor from Australian Survivor?
No, it's not. It's not. That brings up. I know the people. A lot of the people that listen to this podcast love Coach stories. So I'm gonna kind of avoid answering this question and tell you a Coach story that pertains to his question. Mm-hmm. Is that acceptable?
Okay. So then no, at some point we will talk about something that has to do with Coach and then you will answer this question.
No, I'm not going to answer that question because I know who he's talking about, but I spoke with Coach a couple of weeks before we left for Samoa for season 20.
Okay.
And he was running by me all of the said nicknames for every single person. You know, so I heard all these mythology characters, you know, I heard Zeus long before Cochrane was even around. I doubt Cochrane was even born yet. he just went on a 30 minute soliloquy with, you know, Ciri is Queen Latifah. And,
oh, no.
You know, so-and-so I just said, you know, Coach, you know, let's, you know, maybe we should strategize about, you know, a certain strategy we should employ, or maybe we should target or something like that, instead of, you know, working on getting airtime before we even get on an airplane. Mm-hmm. Can't even remember the nickname he had for me, but and that shows you how much how little attention I was paying. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And anyway, it never came, you know, because season 20 wasn't really about Coach per se. His I'm not sure how much airtime his nickname things got. I don't think he got any, did it?
I don't remember if he gave anybody a nickname in Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, because I didn't watch most of the season.
Yeah, I don't think that he was on long enough for that.
But what did happen was he got to recycle all those nicknames.
Yeah, he got to save them.
For the next season. You know, who knows? Hell, I may have been Zeus. and then they gave it. Cochran was Zeus, right?
I think he was Hercules.
Are you sure?
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe he was Hercules.
And I'm not talking shit on Coach. Coach and I think I mentioned to you the other day that Coach and I have reconnected.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I was doing I got Hulu mm-hmm. several months ago, and I think they've got the majority of the seasons of Survivor on, and from time to time I'll pick a season, you know, late at night when nothing's on, and I started watching his season and
Token Chains,
right? I know what season Coach was on.
Okay, was on three.
I know. I couldn't name the third one though.
Okay.
I could name the first two.
Yeah. South Pacific.
Whatever. what was I saying? I lost my train of thought.
You're watching Coach's season.
Oh yeah. I was doing a Token Teens rewatch, and shot him a text, said something like, told him I was doing a rewatch, and I guess I got to feeling a little sentimental and said, you know, wish you were here with me drinking cheap scotch and explaining the behind the scenes stuff. We swapped a few texts and then we hooked up on Skype and talked for an hour, and
wow,
you know, things are good. So all my Coach stories will hopefully not be too offensive.
Yeah. Randy, you use like the ultimate Coach pickup line of wish you were here with me telling me behind the scenes stories from your season. I mean, that's really very aggressive Coach pickup language.
Well, fight fire with fire, right? But no, Zeus, Hercules, Sir Lancelot, Queen Latifah, all those
Queen
were
Latifah could not. It was not one of the names. Stop it.
If it's not, it's
that
it's
is not
be.
A figure in Greek mythology.
You know, I was an engineer. I didn't take too much. You know, I didn't take any courses with Queen Latifah. But all that stuff was meant for season 20. But I put the kibosh on.
And yeah. Okay. Well, that was good. I think everybody appreciates that.
And do you think that's good enough for Connor? Does he really? Connor, send me a tweet. I'll answer it in person. I know we've talked before.
Okay. Brett from DC wants to know, in the reward challenge from last night's episode, Chris Hammonds absolutely dominated his opponents. He's definitely the big aggressive alpha male of the season. My question is thus, what do you think Chris did to piss off Jeff Probst to not receive the nickname Hammonds?
Whew. You know, who knows what's going on in Jeff's mind?
Did he ever call you Bailey?
Never. I don't even think he knows my last name. Even through casting, you know, I was kind of like Cher, just known by Randy.
Yeah. You're the only survivor, Randy.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... Were you ever Sester Nino? I think you were.
He definitely has said it. I'm not sure if he ever said it on the show, but I think at one of the reunion shows, he said it. Maybe America's Tribal Council, I think he said it. And he's said it since then.
You know, and I think if he called me Bailey, I think I'd shut it down.
Shut it down.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
He even started doing that with girls. He did it with Kelly.
Yeah.
Wentworth. Yeah. Don't get me started on Jeff. Who asked that question?
That was from Brett from DC.
Yeah. I don't know why Chris didn't warrant the last name. I guess he's
shutting everybody down.
Yeah. I think he's pretty particular about, who he awards that to, you know.
All right. Maybe Chris hasn't won him over yet. All right. John Rumsey has a question for you. Wants to know, Randy, who would have took the hit from the wave better, Jeff Probst or Jonathan LaPaglia? Wow.
Yeah, but what percentage of your listeners know who Jonathan LaPaglia is?
I will say 25%.
25%.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a stupid question. the answer is whoever would have gone down would have Jeff took it pretty good. You know, he's a fit guy.
Yeah, he looked happy.
Yeah, he's, you know, when he said, you know, when he said wow and everything, and the, you know, I was thinking that he was thinking, this is ending up on the cutting room floor because it's too big of a wave. But yeah, Jeff would take the hit better.
Oh, so he took it better than Jonathan?
Probably.
Okay. What about this question from Paul Schneider? Is Jeff trying to sell the Millennials versus Gen X theme too hard?
Of course. We've already touched on that. It's, you know, and I don't know why they need to, because they don't need to. You know, Borneo, Australia, Africa, that's good enough. That entices the viewer. Yeah. You know, because I could care less whether or not so and so spells out U or uses the letter U.
Yeah.
Am I the only one? I mean, who cares? I mean, unless there's a challenge where Jeff comes out and says, in front of you is a cell phone. The first survivor to text using 140 characters or less. He's shoving it down our throats, and it's not, you know, what's it going to prove? What's it going to prove if a millennial wins?
Maybe they're better. Our time's over, Randy.
Yeah, maybe so. What's it going to prove if a Gen Xer wins?
Don't count us out.
Who won the Jimmy Johnson season with old versus Fabio. Young? Oh, Fabio. Okay. So that's already been proven. The Millennials are going to win.
New hotness beat out old and busted,
I guess.
But they were, yeah, in the end, they were all new hotness.
You know,
Rice is the biggest winner out of anybody.
That's true. He did score big. Anyway, and themes are fine as long as they're not, you know, stuffed down our throat every turn. You know, like, you know, next week is the tribe swap. So the themes are gone. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Is there any theme that you would like?
Yeah, third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm. That's it. What about rivals? Would you come back for a rival season?
I don't know who they'd match me up with, except maybe Sasquatch.
I'm trying to think that through. Do I want to know who that is?
you know who it is.
I don't.
Your listeners know who it is.
All right. Well, I'm not going to pry any further into that. Okay.
Next question.
All right. Eric Stein asked, Randy, will you marry me?
Of course.
Okay. That's good. And then a follow-up question. David Baltazar wants to know, how would you rate Eric Stein's Twitter game?
Yeah, I actually went to his Twitter today just to see if he was still tweeting.
Tweeting?
Yeah, he did one just a few days ago.
What does he tweet about? Big Brother OTT?
Oh, I can't get to it. He must have blocked me.
I don't think he blocked you. Yeah. Looking at a tweet. He's talking about he's talking about politics OTT. Too, Randy.
Is he? Who's he for? He's probably for Hillary.
He's comparing.
You know what? You know I applied for OTT.
Yes. Yes. And what happened?
I actually applied to season 18 and season 19.
And did they call you or anything?
Not a peep.
Yeah.
And you know, I was actually pretty proud of my video. It was, I was real proud of it. I mixed in a few clips of Gabon and, you know, without harping on it too much. But no, they didn't, didn't call me, didn't email me, didn't nothing. You know, they probably.
What would you rather do? Would you rather do Survivor or Big Brother at this point?
If they would do an all Survivor Big Brother. Mm-hmm. That's what I would want to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they don't. That would be gold. As well as an all Big Brother Survivor. That would also be gold.
Be fine. Yeah. You got a lot of people sitting around.
Can you imagine Rachel out there and doing challenges or it'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Then on top of that, Brian Altshul wants to know, when tweeting to Big Brother, is it best to use just the letter U or to spell out Y-O-U?
Depends on how short the tweet is.
Okay. Let me just set this up because I think that a lot of our listeners may not know this from over the summer, because a lot of people that like Survivor, they just check out during Big Brother and they don't pay attention to it. But over the summer, of course, on Big Brother, when they do their live eviction shows, they take Twitter comments from social media as things are happening and sort of put things up on the screen of like, oh, I can't believe this person got voted off, or this is terrible that this happened. Go this person. And one of Randy's tweets this summer was posted up on the screen during a Big Brother episode. And it's the top of Randy's Twitter bio, which says, at Randy Bailey 1720, Big Brother is the greatest game ever. Hashtag BB18.
And I got a question for you about that tweet.
Yes.
Because I truly do not know the answer. Do you think that they knew what they were doing? They knew it was me, and they got a kick out of putting a former survivor saying...
Definitely not. They had no connection. The person...
You think they just liked this tweet on its own merit?
Yes.
And they copy and pasted the handle up there?
That's right. The person who is reading this tweet has no idea what... has never even heard of Survivor Gabon. And I think you should have had an exclamation point on this tweet. I'm surprised that they put this on without punctuation, just a period.
Well, that is the answer I wanted. I I'm not sure I agree with you. I hope you're right, but
I don't know who does it. I don't know who's sitting there going through the tweets.
If that's the case, then I definitely won. I mean, I won big time.
Yes.
If they did it just to mess with me,
no.
Then the laugh's on me.
I don't believe so.
You know, because it was the last tweet of the night. I tweeted it like 5 minutes before they posted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was posting all these really clever dual meaning tweets that were just, you know, poetry.
Like what? Like a double entendre?
Stuff like that, yeah. And then I was watching the show, and it just dawned on me that every single one of these tweets are just
basic.
They're Rupert tweets. they're worse than Rupert tweets. They're like the Rupert tweet game that has no winner. And then I just started, you know, a barrage of Rupert tweets, and you know, it worked. And you know, then they were on to me. A couple of blogs picked up on it. You know, the Reality Blurred guy wrote a big article on it, which I appreciated. It was really funny, and
people loved it.
Yeah, and you know, I tried to crack the nut also with Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
Their tweets were the tweets that they posted were a bit edgier. Mm-hmm. They didn't use straight full on Rupert tweets. they used Rupert tweets with a little bit of spice, you know.
Yes, a little bit.
A little bit. Not Randy Bailey-esque, but you know, a little bit of spice is a good. So I never got on that, but Aubrey did. Aubrey nailed it.
Yes, she did. Speaking of Ko Rong and The Bachelor, Matt Rubio is asking, what are your thoughts on Michelle, the winner of Ko Rong, potentially being on The Bachelor, Randy? Now, she did say that that it was not going to happen. But do you think that she should pursue this?
Yeah, I don't think it's. Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's. She would have a shot on The Bachelor. She would not be. You know, she would not be cast as The Bachelorette, and she probably didn't even claim that she was. Like Coach claimed that he was The Bachelor.
Yes, that should have been his nickname.
I believe he turned him down.
According to Coach?
Oh yeah, according to Coach. But
yes.
You know, don't quote me on that. I'm not absolutely positive.
Okay.
Michelle's not doing the no. Bachelor. You know, she's pretty. She's I like her, but you know, let's face it, we're all typecast.
Yeah.
And that could have been why they didn't even entertain the idea of putting me on Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then this is Gareth Bale has a two-part question. Part one is, Randy, how crappy and anticlimactic will the legacy advantage be?
Yeah, I've even forgotten about it. Yeah, it'll be just as dynamic as the what was that Big Brother twist a year or so ago? It's a house guest steal. No,
the takeover.
Yeah, the Big Brother takeover.
Oh yeah, yeah. Remember?
Get ready for a takeover.
What? Yes.
Yeah. It's gonna be horrible. It's I don't know how many of how many of your listeners are old enough to be like Brady Bunch fans, at least, you know, syndicated for years. They at least caught reruns.
Yes.
In the latter seasons of the Brady Bunch, they had like a cousin Willie come to stay with them. And
cousin Willie.
Cousin, so I don't know.
Cousin Oliver.
Oliver, that's right. Okay, that's right. Willie, Oliver, whatever. I think I was thinking of when Willie Hantz played Big Brother and headbutted that guy and got evicted in like
Chef
the first night. Talk about good TV. I was on the live feeds that season. When Cousin Oliver came on the Brady Bunch and like the focus group said that, you know, Cousin Oliver is not cutting it. So one week he just went upstairs and never came down again. They just kind of wrote him out. So
that's,
yeah,
that's what happened to Legacy Advantage.
That's what's going to. Yeah, it's you know, I may be wrong, but yeah. And I probably am wrong because it's not, you know, the first and last episode of Survivor are edited before. You know, the last episode's edited before the first episode's even shown. So they, you know, if they're gonna make the Legacy Advantage come into play somehow.
Mm-hmm. Like, my prediction for the Legacy Advantage, Randy, is that on day 36, you get to send one player to the Joe Del Campo fajita shack, and then that person just eats as much as they can out of the Joe Del Campo
meat only, right?
Meat only.
And no beverage.
And then it's like a 50-50 if they're going to have to get medevaced after that.
That could be the Legacy Advantage. I like that.
It's the legacy of Joe Del Campo. That's why they call it that. And then, Gareth, the second part of this question, Randy, what's the most annoying thing about millennials?
Taylor.
Just Taylor in general?
Just Taylor. That's so many of their confessionals and stuff that when they're talking about, you know, millennials don't believe in 9-to-5 jobs. They just go for it. I'm not that guy. You know, and I'm sure all your viewers are sophisticated to know that they're not coming up with that crap. You know, they're being prompted by producers. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not liking it. I'm wanting to hear strategy and you know, I'm wanting to hear, you know, Lucy's bossy or you know, Michelle smells or you know, talking about people. I don't want to hear about, you know, getting a trophy for not doing anything. It's, you know, that's just, it's not Survivor.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a purist.
Yeah.
I like 8 versus 8, no immunity.
Is that why you liked Australia? Because it was 8 versus 8 versus 8?
No, I liked Australia because of the cast. They were all just huge fans of us. And
I don't know if they all were, Randy.
A lot of them.
You were saying up and down, oh, how great Australian Survivor is, how it's better than American Survivor. Do you want to walk that back at all, Randy?
You know, no, I don't. It's a good show. It's a good show. And let me just climate of the election. Let me speak like a politician.
Yes.
And say that there are many things that Survivor Australia does better than our version.
Yes.
And vice versa. One of the things that I like about Survivor Australia so much is what I liked about the early seasons of USA Survivor. And that's how raw it is. And they're inventing the wheel. They're learning as they go. And nothing's, you know, it's a well-oiled machine here. And you know, they're just kind of like, you know, they don't know what they're doing. And that's part of the beauty of it. Like the guy raises his hand and say, you know, we lost our Flint. Can we have another one? And Jonathan LaPaglia goes, well, this is kind of rare. And I'm like, dude, rare. This is your eighth day. You know, you don't know what's rare. Yeah. And that's what I love about it. It's so raw. And like I told you, I've been talking to some of these people.
Yes.
And they're huge fans. I posted a couple, you know, when my first tweet came out about Australian Survivor, you know, Tyson chimed in and said, Randy, where are you watching these episodes? And I got a message from Kat saying, you know, she followed me and I followed her back and we talked a little bit. And she said that they had this message
Kat
board.
From Australian Survivor, not Kat yes. Ederson.
No, Kat from Australian Survivor.
Yes.
Was saying that they had this little message board that they're all keeping in touch with. And somebody on the message board said, and these are all players. It's just, you know, private to these 24 Australian Survivors saying, you know, Randy and Tyson are talking about us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick said, you know, when they had that twist and Nick had to burn his buff when he went to the other tribe.
Yes.
He was saying, dude, I swear to God, I was thinking about you when I had to throw my buff in the fire. Wow. And do you know how flattering that is? You do, of course.
Sure.
Of course you do.
But I thought it was a rhetorical question.
It was.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's why I love this season so much is these fans are just so into it, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, sweet little Christy.
Yeah.
You know, who could go all the way, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, yeah, Survivor Australia does some things better than we do, and vice versa.
Okay, Edward Morris wants to. Is Figgy giving you Flick vibes?
No, not at all.
Who do you like better, Figgy or Flick?
Oh, I think Flick.
Yeah.
is playing to not spoil it for anybody. Is playing or played a much better game.
Okay, she's better than Figgy. Yeah. Okay. Jordan Kalish wants to know, if you had a plate with enough cookies for everyone on Survivor Millennials versus Gen X, who would you deny a cookie to? Who would you give the extra cookie to?
Next question. Just ban Jordan Kalish, please.
Okay, you got it.
Okay.
Nick Wilson says, aren't the millennials having more fun playing Survivor? Since you've joined Twitter and have become more millennial-like, is watching Survivor more fun for you now?
Twitter has you know, I have always been millennial-like, whether you believe it or not.
How
even
so?
Though, you know, in Gabon, I'm not best friends with Bob. I'm best friends with Charlie, Corinne, you know, Kenny, Dan, you know, with millennials.
Well, everybody there is a millennial, Randy.
I've always been very immature.
Yeah.
So Twitter was just my, you know, that was just my springboard to show the world.
Yeah. Next, you have to get on Snapchat.
I'm kind of got my sights on Instagram.
Instagram. Okay.
No, I think Twitter's all I can handle.
All right. Which Millennials versus Gen X cast member, this is from Thomas Forsey, is most likely to stop moving if you ask them to freeze during a blindfold challenge?
Yeah, we got to get somebody besides you, Rob, picking these questions.
Why, you don't like these questions?
No, they're silly. But let's see, who would freeze? He asked what millennial would freeze?
Which cast member? It could be anybody on either tribe.
Any of them. Probably Hannah.
Hannah. Okay. I could see it.
I mean, she listened to Michelle, so.
Yeah. Although.
Let me give a serious answer to a really stupid question.
Yes. Okay. You know, Randy, that was in the bowling challenge that you guys had on the big hill in Gabon. And Jay talked about bowling night in this season.
Sometimes women blind you and then you end up stuck with a woman and you're bailing on your boys when it's bowling night and you're stuck at home with your girlfriend. You're a dork. Like, wake up.
Right.
Was that Jay or Taylor?
That was Jay. That was Jay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get them. I mean, I you know, they're very, you know, they're the same character, kind of, more or less.
Yeah. Randy, do you have any guy friends that you have, like, either drinking buddies or a guy, like, you go out and do stuff with?
I only drink alone, Rob.
That's the way to do it, I guess.
It's healthier. And yeah, I got a couple. What is that?
Well, that's
about
what Jay is talking about. Sometimes you have a guy friend and then they get a girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
and they blow you off to go off with their date.
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, not as much anymore, but back when I was a millennial, I guess so.
Yeah. Keith Lowen wants to know, is Randy watching either Big Brother OTT or pro wrestling? And what are his thoughts on the current state of either?
I'm not watching either, actually.
Yes.
I you know, I may in the future go back and watch all of OTT, but I've got too much on my plate right now. I'll watch it at a different time.
At a later date.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Haley Strong says, hey, can you just tell Randy that Amy and I miss him? Thanks. Bye.
Who was that from?
Haley Strong.
Who's that?
She's a Canadian listener.
Oh, well, we love our Canadian fans.
Yes.
Thanks for viewing. What's her name? Kaylee?
Haley.
Oh, Haley. Okay.
Yes. Then Scott Schiefer wants to know, I'd love to get your take on the immunity idols this season. Have they been too easy to find on the Millennials versus Gen X? In Ko Rong, Ty was nearly bleeding from climbing a palm tree to retrieve his idol. And here we are in Fiji, and we see David and Adam easily picking them up off the ground. Even Susie from your season in Gabon could have found these idols.
Well, I don't exaggerate, but yeah,
they're
pretty easy. They're just about as easy as they were in season 19.
Mm hmm.
You know, I don't know, you know, I'm not there. I don't know how long they've been there. If they've been there from the beginning of the game or if they've been there like for 30 minutes, I think a lot of people are probably asking themselves that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And what's the, if you see a coconut with writing on it, that's going to raise a red flag. It's big contrast to, Ty's idols.
Yes. Too easy. Did you like it when they found the idols in the challenges? Did you like how they did that
in Second Chances?
Yes.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. That was, and it worked out. It created unbelievable TV. You know, with the way Kelly pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremy,
right?
Yes. Okay.
But Kelly pulled it off twice, which was, and both of them were, you know, well, all three of them were epic.
Yeah. One time wasn't in a challenge though. One time was just like she had to go and that find it underneath the shelter.
Right. And wasn't Abby sleeping in the shelter?
But it was like, was Abby going to catch her? That was fun.
Yeah.
We liked that.
Yeah. And why they haven't brought that back? I mean, they get something that works and they just abandon it.
They don't want to run it into the ground, Randy.
So yeah, we'll see the legacy advantage though for the next 30 seasons.
Okay. Ben Dubs wants to know, is David as unpredictable as Sugar was in Gabon?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. This last move, you know, we already talked about it a good bit. It could be seen as reckless, but the jury's still out on it. We'll see. He started out, you know, his first episode, the first episode was just horrible for him. And, you know, that was obviously setting him up for, you know, that was a red herring that, you know, he was going to grow on us and go pretty far, if not real far.
Yes.
You know, at least four episodes. And I'd guess, you know, he's a good bet for the jury.
Yeah. Randy, Robin Wilson wants to know, has seeing Figgy and Taylor's relationship this season deepened your hatred of love?
No, I'm not sure it could get much deeper, but
would you photograph the wedding of Figgy and Taylor?
Wait, is that your question or is that Robin's question?
That's mine.
Oh, yeah, I would just to I'd not take the lens cap off or something and say, oops, sorry. No, it's, you know, love is love and survivor is survivor and they should not mix.
Yeah.
and I think anybody that's ever played, with the exception of, you know, who would agree with me.
Okay. Bill Thompson has a question. One more question for you, Randy. Were you surprised that William Wall in his bio said that he respected you? Did you read the bios of the players this season?
Was I surprised?
Yeah.
Why would I be surprised that someone respected me?
Well, I just meant because he's an 18-year-old kid that goes to Christian high school and names you as one of the survivors that he really respected. It's sort of just like a throwaway thing. It's like, oh, by the way, I really respect the game from Randy Bailey.
Do you not respect me?
No. I was just talking about Will.
Well, no, I don't, you know, I think he's got excellent taste.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't mean any sort of disrespect by it. I just thought it was the youngest kid.
You know, why would you read that question? So what if he's a Christian? You know, I'm not the most religious person in the world, but he can certainly respect me.
Yeah. Well,
let's don't get into this again. We always seem to get off on the wrong. We've had a great conversation.
Yeah, that's the last thing in the world that I want, Randy.
I know that. And you know, that's we buried the hatchet and let's move on. Yeah. You know, let me just say that I was flattered that young Willie respected me.
All right, good. I was worried that I made you upset.
No, I'm cool.
Okay. All right. Well, Randy, so much fun going through the episode with you.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
enjoyed it. One thing I wrote down a couple of notes, things I wanted to discuss, and this won't be a discussion. This will just be one
quick hit
that your fans might, or your viewer listeners might find interesting in Heroes Villains. I was an early boot, as everybody knows. And, Tom Westmond, Stephanie, Suri, is that it? Yeah. Sugar. They sent Sugar home or whatever, mm-hmm. but we went on vacation in Fiji. Yes. Actually, we flew to Fiji and Tom and I went scuba diving one day. The girls were sleeping in and they didn't dive, but Tom and I did. And we were taking a boat ride out for a swimming with the sharks adventure. And we're about 20 miles, you know, we're way out there. And there's, you know, everywhere is dotted with islands. And the captain of the boat points over and says, there's that island there. Is the island that Castaway was filmed on.
Oh.
And, you know, that's the island that they're filming this season on.
Oh, it's the same place as Castaway?
It is the same place. And I recognize it like crazy, both from the movie and seeing it in person. The boat captain swerved over, you know, real close. And there's a resort like a mile down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they don't show that too much in the shots.
Yeah.
And Castaway is one of my favorite movies. So, you know, this was a big deal to me. And then we go for about another mile and the captain said, have either of you guys seen the television show Survivor?
Mm-hmm.
And Tom and I look at each other and I think I look at the captain and said, yeah, we have seen it. And he said, well, that's where Survivor Fiji was filmed. And he showed us that island too. So mm-hmm. And I think that what kind of makes this season kind of cool for me because, you know, I've been there.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe that's a boring fact.
No, I like that. And did you get along good with Tom Westman?
Not the greatest.
Oh.
But nobody likes me.
So you're just hard to get along with.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't get along with me either.
Yeah, I just feel like that's a weird pairing, you and Tom Westman.
Yeah, it was challenging at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did he like you?
We got along great for a while, but
it didn't end well.
And since then we've just said we're two different people and, you know, we shake hands and I'd love to see Tom again and have a beer with him. But and I think he would with me. Yeah. Tom's a good guy. It's just we're oil and vinegar.
Yeah. All right, Randy. Well, at the end of these shows, I like to do a hashtag. Do you have a hashtag in mind that you think would be good?
Let's see. You got? I know you take notes on this kind of stuff. You got any
I
ideas?
I do. I don't have anything off the top of my head. Let's see.
What do we talk about?
We have maybe one of Coach's nicknames for you.
I don't remember what mine were, though. It's your hashtag thing. It's your podcast. I was just.
Randy, what about hashtag third time's the charm?
Third time's a charm or the charm?
I think the charm.
Yeah, I think it is the charm. Let's go with that.
Third time's the charm. Try to get some momentum going for that season.
Yeah, that's good. And you know, for the record, you know, I'd love to go back, but I could care less. You know,
mm-hmm.
Things are fine, but I would love to go back.
Yeah. Well, speaking of going back, Randy, one of the things that I've always wanted to do that I thought would be fun is if we could get you, you know, this is the recap, but we also do a voicemail edition of the podcast. And again, I feel a little bad about that, the Will thing. I'd love to have another shot at this.
Don't worry about it.
Would you come back and do the voicemails later on this season with me?
Voicemail, what's that about? I'm not sure I'm familiar.
That's where we take questions from the listeners, sort of like what we do now, but they call in. It's the other podcast that we do after the episodes where I get a guest on and we take the voicemails and answer a bunch of questions. And I go through like the Survivor social media and stuff like that.
That's what we just sort of did.
It's similar, but then we go through and people get to call in and ask their questions and go through stuff we didn't talk about on the recap.
Yeah, I'll probably do it, but just for who was your guest last week?
We talked to Haley Strong.
She's that Canadian chick, right?
Yep. Canadian woman. Yeah.
She's never even been on a show before.
Yeah, well, she does like a podcast for us.
But she's a foreigner.
She's a Canadian. Yeah.
Who else? You do realize I've been on Survivor twice.
Yeah. No, I mean, I talked to the players that we have. Bryce does it all the time. We had Darnell 2 weeks ago.
Darnell.
Yeah.
He's
King Darnell.
He's that kid that took a dump like 20 feet from camp, isn't he?
Yes.
He was first voted off, right?
Yeah, last season.
Why?
He's very funny.
Yeah, but he was the first vote. I lasted 30 days in Gabon.
Yeah, but I try to have people that are funny on the voicemails.
You know, Rob, to be blunt, you know, I don't want to do your show.
Well,
we
don't have to do the voicemails.
I've done your recap, and I it sounds like this show is for the second string.
No, it's for
even the third string. This is why. I'm always hesitant to come on this stupid show because every time you can't leave it alone, you have some idiot singing songs or some guest, this is it. You know, we've been down this road before. This is the last straw.
Randy, hold on. Let me apologize for the voicemail thing. You don't have to do the voicemails. You don't have to come on the voicemail show.
You know, why would I do the voicemail show when I'm in the big leagues now with the recap show. Mm-hmm. So you can
there's no stigma of the Rob, voicemail show.
Just take the voicemail show and stick it up your okay? Later.
Randy. Eliza has done it. Eliza has been on the voicemail show. All right. There you have it, everybody. Randy Bailey. I thought things were going so much better this time, and I am very sorry about the language. I will clean that up in the post-production, and that is not what I am looking for on the podcast, but we had fun for a while on the podcast, the great Randy Bailey once again. So coming up next on the podcast, you're going to hear my voicemail podcast with the controversial voicemail podcasts with Miles Nye. He's going to be joining me to come on in and not play second string. Absolutely not. That it is a honor to join me on the voicemail podcast. And Miles Nye will be doing just that on our next show. So looking forward to that. Of course, big thanks always to the patrons of Robert's podcast who make all of this nonsense podcasting possible. So to find out more about the benefits of being a patron and to see my behind the scenes video of what goes on here at Rob Has a Podcast, you can check that out at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.